It sure takes a lot of worry off things.
Amen. I believe we ought to pray, be good stewards while we're here. But again, realize that this is not our home. The King is coming. And when he gets here, we'll be going home. 1 Kings chapter number 11. 1 Kings chapter number 11. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, you don't need to turn there. Verse number 1, Paul says this. He says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times. Anybody know what he says next? Men shall be lovers what? Lovers of their own self. Think about that. Lovers of their own self. When you love yourself, what does that mean? That means that you love yourself more than the next generation. That means that the next generation is your children, other people that will be coming up. And somebody said, well, I'll just do what's right for me. You know, Hezekiah, God foretold some things that was going to come. But then he told Hezekiah it would come after his death to his sons. Hezekiah said, well, okay, well, not happening to me. I'm afraid a lot of people, when we get lovers of our own self, we don't realize what damage it does to everybody else around us, to this next generation. We're going to look at a man that become a lover of his own self. Some people would describe what Solomon went through as a midlife crisis. The Bible said he's old here in the verse we're going to read, but when you get reading it, it's probably about 50 years old. So he wasn't that old. But I want us to look, and I want you to stay with me a minute. I want to show you some things about Solomon. If I was to ask you about Solomon, what you know about him, many of you would say, wisest man in all the world. So I want you to take, and I want you to stay with me a minute and understand this. If it could happen to Solomon, it can happen to you. Let's begin reading, if you would, in chapter 11. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to go within the book of Kings here, the first 11 chapters, and I want to show you a few things, if you would. Verse number 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your what? Heart after their gods. And Solomon claved unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, again, about 50 years old, best I can figure out, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth. And by the way, let me stop right there and go back up verse 4 a minute. We all know the sin that David committed. Isn't it good to know that David could get forgiveness? And that God could hold him this dear after all David did. But look, if you would, in verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David's, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Now, knows that. He's not going to take it in Solomon's day, but he's going to take the kingdom. He promised David that his kingdom would last forever, and Solomon, it would have lasted forever, but Solomon had a commitment. He could not turn away from God. And when he did, and God told him he's going to take it from him, he said, I'm going to take it from him, but I'm not going to do it to you for David's sake, but I'm going to do it to your son. And his son happened to be Rehoboam. And the neighbor that he was going to give it to was Jeroboam. And so what happened after Solomon died, God took the kingdom away, 10 tribes of the 12 tribes, away from Rehoboam, gave it to Jeroboam, the northern tribes, and the two southern tribes he kept and allowed Rehoboam to have, and that was Judah and Benjamin. Look on, if you would, in verse 13. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Now, turn back a moment. Let me say this. How can someone that is so wise become so foolish? How could someone so wise get so far away from God that was once so close to God? Listen to this. Just because you have a good beginning don't mean you're going to have a good ending. Some people starts with a good beginning and doesn't have a very good ending. And so this guy, if there was ever a man that had all the ability and privileges of having a good beginning, it was Solomon. Now think about this a moment. He drifted and finally become detached and defected from God himself. Some of the highlights of his life, the first 10 chapters, point some of his highlights. I'm not going to go over all of them, but I want to say this. It seemed like he could do no wrong. Seemed like God blessed him on every turn. Made him the wisest man. When he asked for an understanding heart, God blessed him with all kinds of silver. Look back in your Bible just a moment, if you would, and notice here in chapter 3. Turn over chapter 3 real quick. And notice, if you would, beginning in verse number 7. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Now notice Solomon's heart had a very humble heart. He was very humble. He said, God, you made me king. I don't deserve it. He said, I'm just like a little child. Look in verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted from multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, neither hast asked for life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all the days of thy life. And if thou, now notice this, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days. Now notice as well in chapter 4, real quickly. In chapter 4, begin reading with me if you would, in verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezraite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darka, and the sons of Mala. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. And he spake of the beast, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and fishes. And there came all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. So in his wisdom, he had received from God. Now his wisdom began to fail in chapter 11, where we find him. He had married a bunch of heathen women. These heathen women, he had married 700 of them to make wives, and had 300 of them concubines. He was not very smart. Now, I'm not going to comment any further on that. I always get myself in trouble. But 700 wives and 300 concubines, can't be a real smart fella. What are you laughing so much for, Tony? But anyway, getting back, look here. Getting back to this, look at his walk that God commanded. Turn, if you would, to chapter 8. Now, he's fixing to dedicate the temple. And notice here in verse number 14. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, that thou shalt come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as God promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein the covenant of the Lord that he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the congregation, and he spread forth his hands toward heaven. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, he dedicated that house. And you read this prayer that Solomon prayed, and you thought, my goodness, what a man of God that had a touch of God, had a knowledge of God, had the wisdom of God, had God in his heart. He loved God. And so here we find that his walk was with God. But notice if you would in chapter 9. God had commanded Solomon in chapter 9, beginning in verse number 4. He says, now according to your walk, he said, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel, what? Forever. In other words, all he had to do was walk with God, and his kingdom would have been carried on. Notice if you would. As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye and your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house, which I have hallowed for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among the people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passes by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto the land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them, therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. So again, had they walked according to what God did, Solomon said, God told Solomon, forever you'll serve. You and your children, they'll serve. All you gotta do is walk in my statutes, follow my commandments, and do what I've told you to do. Now, notice as well his wealth. In chapter 10, beginning in verse number 6, talking about Queen Sheba, a queen of Sheba, and she said to the king, it was true, a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told of me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame that I heard. She said, you have been blessed so much. You've got more wealth than I can imagine. When he wrote Ecclesiastes, he said he had all the wealth, silver and gold that he needed. He had everything. Manservants, maidservants, houses, vineyards. He had everything. But listen, sometimes blessings can turn into curses. And so here Solomon had been blessed of God. We begin to trust riches rather than trusting God. And remember this. Money is a good steward, but it's a terrible master. And when money becomes your master, it'll destroy you. Amen? Now, not only look at his wealth, but let's look at his worship. Now, when we look in chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, we read that. He began to build altars and began to serve and worship other pagan gods. And so here he did that. And he began to allow God, thinking God would accept second place. God accepts no second place. As Brother Eric mentioned this morning, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God does not take any second place. He does not play second fiddler. And by the way, you cannot serve two masters. Solomon tried to do that. You can't do that. So in his worship we also see in his witness. What kind of example did he have when he began to marry all these heathen women that he was commanded not to marry, took on all these concubines? And by the way, I have no doubt that Solomon enjoyed indulgences and even sexual indulgences. He probably went overboard having that many wives and that many concubines. You can imagine. So imagine where he allowed this stuff to become God of his life. And he began to put that first in before everything else. And so his witness of everybody around him that used to hold him up on a pedestal began to fall apart, because they began to see Solomon and the choices he's making. Now, notice as well the chastening. In verse 14 of chapter 11, he says that the king of Edomite, he was going to make his enemy. If you look on in verse 23, Razan, king of Abron, that's Syria, he was going to make him his enemy. Jeroboam was going to take 10 tribes in verse 26. And we're not going to go there and read all those. But anyway, I want you to notice, for 40 years, Solomon had served. He had peace. Now, all of a sudden, people that used to be his peaceful friends, God turned their hearts and they become his enemies and begin to make war with Israel. Why? Because it was a chastening of God. Did you ever notice how God begins to turn things around? And he begins to chasten in those things? Notice as well, his accumulation. Look back, if you would, in chapter 10. Verse number 14. Accumulation of wealth. He says, now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. If you figure that up, that's about 25 tons of gold. 2,000 pounds per ton. 50,000 pounds of gold. Anybody know what an ounce of gold goes for right now? What? Anybody know close? 1,700. 1,700 for an ounce. He had 50,000 pounds of it. Imagine what it would be worth today. But notice as well. And by the way, if you notice this in verse 15, besides that, he had the merchantmen of the traffic and the spice merchants and all the kings of Arabia and all the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold, 600 shekels of gold went into one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold, and 3 pounds of gold went into one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best of gold. Now notice this, everything he made, he put with gold. And by the way, the 666 tons or talents of gold was just 1 year's taxes. 1 year's. That come in every year. Everything he had, he put gold over it. He had such abundance. Then, of course, notice in chapter 10, and notice in verse 26, and Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen whom he bestowed in the cities of chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. Now, you've heard about the stables of Solomon in the bottom of the temple. If you've ever heard about that, some claim that they're still there underneath the Dome of the Rock. Now, whether they are or not, but now notice in verse 27, and the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, cedars made he to be as sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn, and the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150, and so for all the kings of the Hittites, and for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means. In other words, he had such accumulation of wealth. Now, sounds like Solomon had everything going for him. Keep your finger there a moment. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 17 real quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 17. God had commanded some things of Israel. And so he told Moses, when Israel would get a king, there would be some king things that the king needed not to ever do. Notice what it was, beginning in verse 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Remember when they did that to Samuel, and Saul was given to them? Look in verse 15. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. In verse 16, but he shall not multiply what? Horses to himself, nor cause a people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall not henceforth return no more that way. Now, did you notice what Solomon had accumulated? Horses and chariots. He was a big fond of horses, and he had a great abundance of horses. Not only that, but notice what else God said in verse 17. Neither shall he multiply what? Wives to himself, that his heart turn what? Not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he setteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of Levites. In other words, he said, every king that sets upon the throne, have him to write this down so he don't collect horses, so he don't collect silver and gold, and he don't take a lot of wives unto himself. Notice verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now turn back, if you would, to chapter 11. Now notice here, he was to read it daily. The king was to read this law that he was to write daily to remind him not to fall trap for these things. And you know what Solomon did? He started neglecting to read his Bible. He started neglecting to read the Word of God. How many times do we start neglecting to read the Word of God? And then we find ourselves pursuing things that are of no good to us. And we find ourselves caught in traps. Look on, if you would. You see, the greater Solomon become in his eyes, the less the Lord become in Solomon's eyes. Look on. The downfall, his adultery, was that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he began to allow them to worship their gods. And then soon he found himself. Now, he had no excuse in verses 9 through 13. The Lord was angry with him. The Lord kept coming back to him and telling him, how many times have we got away from God? And the Holy Spirit of God said, don't do that. Get away from that. Stay away. You know better. It'll bite you. It'll cost you. And sure enough, I can speak for myself. I've been here before. Now, so here the Lord appeared to him. Prophets were sent to him. But he was too busy in his compulsive lifestyle and began to neglect the things of God. And what he began to do was he began to feed the desires of Solomon, and they become more important to him than his own children and the people of Israel and the future of Israel, because he knew God was going to take away the kingdom if he followed up and did these things. And he did. So then what we find that he began to try to convince himself, and he began to, I'm sure, begin to try to convince himself that he could do both things. There's a scripture that I always hold close to me that Solomon wrote in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. And to paraphrase it, it says something like this: they made me keeper of many vineyards, but my own vineyard I kept not. Solomon, He began to love himself. He went through a midlife crisis. And he began to love himself and began to enjoy the pleasures of these wives, his money, his horses, and all the things that he had accumulated. And he began to love himself more than he loved the next generation. Because the next generation, and God said, for David's sake, I'm not going to take it in your presence, Solomon. I'm going to take it from your son. And your children are going to suffer because of your decision. Now we hope and pray that through the book of Ecclesiastes, when you read that, Solomon came to his senses. Because when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Ecclesiastes means the preacher. And Solomon come back and he began to get some sense in his head. And he began to tell everybody. He said, I had everything. I had vineyards, I had silver, I had gold, I had men servants, I had manservants, I had houses, I had everything. And it was vanity, meaningless. It was nothing. And he goes all the way through the book of Ecclesiastes, and he gets to the very end. He said, now hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. But it was too late. Yes, it was good that Solomon turned his heart. But in the meantime, God took 10 tribes and gave to Jeroboam. And those 10 tribes went up, and I don't know if you ever noticed this, and go into the book of Revelation, when it talks about the 12 tribes of Israel, and it talks about the 144,000 that would be witnesses during the tribulation time. We call them Jehovah Witnesses, not these Jehovah Witnesses, the real Jehovah Witnesses. Did you ever notice there was a tribe missing? The tribe of Dan is not mentioned. You know why the tribe of Dan is not mentioned? Because God told Israel that the first one to ever introduce idolatry into their tribe, their name would be blotted out. And what happened was Jeroboam went and he took these 10 tribes, and the other two tribes was Benjamin and Judah, and Judah was at Jerusalem, and they had the temple at Jerusalem, and Rehoboam was king over those two, the southern tribe. Jeroboam was over the 10 tribes, and so Jeroboam said, I don't want y'all going down there and worshiping. I'm afraid you'll stay down there. We'll just make our own self a couple temples. And they begin to make a couple golden calves. You know the first place they put one? In Dan. And you know what God did? Took Dan's name off the list. When you come over to Revelation, Dan is no longer mentioned, but now Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, is added there instead of Dan. You know why? God's always true to his word. And somebody said, Solomon got forgiven. But that loving of himself, read the history of Rehoboam. God took the kingdom. He caused Israel to go into captivity, he'll bring out, because they did not reverence the name of God. And all through their lives, they've been. You know why? Because Solomon did not keep the throne. Because he got away from reading the word of God daily. Making sure he didn't have multiple wives, multiple horses, too much silver and gold. And he was lovers of his own self rather than the next generation. And so they suffered on his behalf. We all battle in the day in which we live. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. That's why women can walk away from their children and leave them and never look back. That's why men can walk away and never look back. There's an unnatural love
And the love is for oneself. And the greatest danger that we live in is we have such an abundance life. And it's so easy to take our eyes off the Lord. And it's easy to get our eyes on just ourselves. But when we do, the next generation always suffers when that happens. And so tonight, I want us to understand this one thing. No one had the opportunity of walking after the Lord like Solomon did, the wisest man to ever live upon the face of the earth. And if Solomon could fall trap to it, we all can fall trap to it. Need to be wise to stand tonight.